daf is Shabbos Daf Chaf Beis. We are holding on Daf Chaf Aleph Amud Beis, right in the middle of the Chanukah Sugyos, and we are at three lines before the lines get very wide on Daf Chaf Aleph Amud Beis, Tnan Hasam. So says the Mishnah Tnan Hasam, Geitza Yotze Mitachas HaPatish, V'yatza V'hizik Chayiv. So this is a quotation of a Mishnah in Maseches Baba Kama, and I believe it is the only Mishnah in Shas, Mishnah, that mentions Chanukah. We don't have any Mishnayis on Chanukah, we don't have any, no Masechta, we don't even have Mishnayis on Chanukah. So in the middle of Maseches Baba Kama, there happens to be a mention of Chanukah in a very parenthetical way. So the Mishnah tells us at first that if a person is banging with a hammer and a spark flies out and it does damage, so the person is chayiv to pay for the damage that the spark did. Gamal shaton pishtan, if you have a camel that's carrying flax on its back, v'hu over b'rushus harabim, and it's passing through rushus harabim, v'nichnasa pishtano l'toch hachanos, and the bundle of flax somehow got into one of the stores on the side of the street, v'dolka b'neiru shel chenveni, and it got lit by the candle of the chenveni of the storekeeper, v'hidlik asabira, and once that bundle of flax was lit on the animal's back, it burnt down the entire building on the side of the street. So bal ha-gamal chayiv, the guy who owns the camel, is going to be chayiv to pay for it. But if the chenveni had left the candle on the outside, so then it's the chenveni's problem. He's the one that's chayiv. Meaning, in the original case, the Baal Gamal is chayiv because he should not have made the bundle on the camel's back so big that it intrudes into the chenveni's store. But in the second case, it's not his fault. The chenveni put it on the outside. He has to realize that there are animals going back and forth in the street. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, B'ner Chanukah Pater, Rabbi says, yes, if the chenveni puts his candle outside, he's going to be chayiv. But if that candle happened to have been Ner Chanukah, he's pater, because the chenveni is allowed to put the candle on the outside when it's Ner Chanukah, since, as Rashi points out, B'ner Chanukah Pater chenveni, she b'rishus pirsum mitzvah, he nichasham. He did this in order to be mefarsim the mitzvah, and that's part of the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah, to be mefarsim the nes. So the chenveni is going to be pater, he didn't do anything wrong, and adrabah, the people walking the Rosh Hashanah maybe need to be a little more careful and cognizant of the fact that it is Chanukah and that they have to be a little more careful of the fires that are going to be there. Amar Ravina, so Ravina comments, that's the Mishnah. Ner Chanukah Pater, that's where we have the mention of Chanukah, Misachs Pop Kama. Some Ravina, says Ravina, Zosomeres, Ner Chanukah Mitzvah Lanicha B'toch Hasara. One thing we can derive from this Mishnah is that ideally Ner Chanukah should be placed under 10 tefachim. Because if you hold that Ner Chanukah can be placed above 10 tefachim, why is the chenveni going to be pater when the pishtan gets lit from the Ner Chanukah? Shouldn't the Baal HaGamal be able to say to the chenveni, I understand you're allowed to put your ner outside. Why was it so low that my camel was able to have his bundle catch on fire from your candle? You should have placed it higher, l'malame gamal v'rochvo, above the level of where the camel and his rider are. From the fact that the Baal HaGamal is not allowed to say that, if it doesn't have such a taina, that shows us that there is no such taina, that the chenveni had to keep it low, he had to keep it underneath 10 tvachim. Says the Gemara, no, v'dilma imitruch eleituva asilim noim mitzvah. Maybe really, enochinami, there is no din that you have to keep it under 10 tvachim. It could be above 10 tvachim, it could be as high as you want it. But we're not going to demand that of the chenveni, because that's going to already be a big tircha, and if we're matriach people to make mitzvahs too difficult for them, we're concerned people are not going to do the mitzvah. So it's not a raya berura to the exact level of where Ner Chanukah needs to be. Amar Rav Kahana, last line on the page on Chaf Alfam Beis. Amar Rav Kahana, Darish Rav Nassim Bar Ben Yomi Mishmeid Rabbi Tanchum, Ner Shel Chanukah Sheinichal Lamala Mechafam Psula Kisuko Kamavui. If you have Ner Chanukah that's placed above 20 amos, it's going to be pasul, just like Sukkah, just like Mavui, above 20 amos is going to be pasul. Says Rashi, the reason that above 20 amos is no good is that the eye won't catch that which is above 20 amos, and therefore it's not going to be a proper persume nisa. Says Tosfos, wait a second, by Sukkah and Mavoy, does it say Psula? So it says to us, Vimtomar, Havle Lemimer Yema'it, Kamo Gabe Mavoy. At the very beginning of Masech Sukkah, the Gemara compares how the terminology of the Mishnah is when it comes to, what the terminology of the Mishnah is when it comes to describing a Sukkah that's too high, and what the terminology of the Mishnah is when it comes to describing a Mavoy that's too high. When we talk about a Mavoy, we're talking about the Korah on the beam on top of the Mavoy that's Matir carrying in the Mavoy. So when it comes to the Mavoy, we say Yema'it, that if you have a beam that's more than 20 amos off the ground, you gotta lower it. You have to put it lower in order to make it work. When it comes to the Sukkah, we say psula. Instead of saying lower it, we say that it's possible. So asks Tosos, over here we should say yema'it, we shouldn't say possible. Over here by Ner Chanukah, we should suggest lowering it, just like we do by Mavoy. Why? What's the defining line? When do we say yema'it? When do we say psula? Damar Hasam, because the Gemara says in Masechta Sukkah and Masechta Erevin, Mavoy Drabanan Tani Takanta, that the difference between the term yema'it and the term psula is that when you have a din drabanan, we tell you how to fix it. When you violate, when the present situation is in violation of a drabanan, we tell you how to fix it. When it's in violation of a daoraisa, we just tell you psula. We just say pasul. So what do we have over here? We have Ner Chanukah. There's drabanan. So it shouldn't say psula. It should say yema'it. Rav Shachter explained that perhaps the lashonos of yema'it and psula, the way that one is associated with Rabban and one is associated with Daraisa, maybe based on that Nesivus and Reish Lamedalad, the well-known Nesivus about Isur Chefza and Isur Gavra. There's a discussion. We know that the difference between Neder and Dava is a din in the Gavra, a din in the Chefza, but there's a discussion in the Achronim. What about Kol HaTorah Kula? Whenever you have an Isur in Torah, is it an Isur Chefza? Is it that the object is fundamentally as characteristics of Isur? Or is it an Isur Gavra? There's nothing about the object, it's just that I'm not allowed to use the object. So the Nesiva says that whenever you have an Isser da'oraisa, it's always an Isser Chefza, because Isser Chefza means that built into the Bria, this has characteristics of Isser. So only a Kadosh Baruch Hu could do that. So an Isser da'oraisa is an Isser Chefza. An Isser drabanan is an Isser Gavra. An Isser drabanan is that I have to listen to the Rabbanan. I can't be losasar. I can't veer from what the Rabbanan say. But the Rabbanan don't have the power to change the Bria, to make something that has no fundamental characteristics of Isser and provide it with characteristics of Isser. They could tell me not to do it. They could tell me to avoid it. So he thought maybe that's the difference between Yema'it and Psula. Yema'it is an action. It's what I should do. Psula is a statement of what it is. So when it comes to Daraisa, we could say Psula. It is possible. It's a description of the Chefza. When it comes to a Drabanan, we can say, Yema'it, this is what you should do. So asks Tosa, so what's going on over here? Why by Ner Chanukah does it say Psula? So he says, V'ika le'meimar, d'nakat Psula mishum d'bay le'meimar, kisuka shehi min haTorah. Maybe we mention Psula over here because we're trying to say that it has the same din like Sukkah, which is min haTorah. Now, how does that answer anything? He just says that it should be like Sukkah. What do you mean? But it's not min haTorah. It's min Rabbanan. What does Tosos mean? So the Shar Mitzion Balacha suggests that what Tosos means over here is that if you are madlik l'malam michaf, it's a bracha levatala, unlike a mavoy where you didn't really do anything wrong when you're madlik when you put a beam l'malam michaf, you just haven't been matir carrying in the mavoy. By a sukkah, it's going to be a bracha levatala because you're going to make a bracha on the sukkah. By a Ner Chanukah, it's going to be a bracha levatala as well. So maybe that's what it means. It should be like sukkah. I just don't understand how that fits into the lashon of Tosos, that it's like sukkah shehi min haTorah. That has nothing to do with whether it's min haTorah. You make brachos on mitzvahs to Rabbanan also. Very difficult lashon of Tosos. Inami says Tosos, another possibility, lo ratza laharich yichabenav yima'atena v'yachzor v'yad likena. Tos says, because it's not just yema'it, it would involve more than just yema'it. Meaning, if it was a one-word answer of what do you do with the Ner Chanukah that's above Chaf, and it's either yema'it or psula, you're right. We should pick yema'it because that's the Rabbanan Lashon. But by Ner Chanukah, it would involve more than that. It would involve yichabena, extinguish it, v'yema'atena, then lower it, v'yachzor v'yad likena, and light it again. So since it's a three-step process, and it would would take more words to describe. In the Olam, a person should always try to describe things b'lashon k'tzara, in the briefest, most direct kind of way. So that's why Chazal chose the shorter way to describe it as psula, even though it happens to be slightly less accurate for a drabanan than the word yama'it would have been. Now, Rashi over here says, what's the problem in Slamala Michafama? Lo shalta ba'ena, that you're not going to catch it with your eye. Now, the Gemara in Sukkah does talk about that first mission in Sukkah, that a Sukkah Lamala Michaf is possible, but in Mesach Sukkah, Daf Beis and Beis says, once the funnels from Magir Sashach, Mishlat shalta ba'ena, that if you have walls that actually reach all the way up to the Schach, then we assume that your eye will catch it, because you go straight up the walls and then you'll catch the Schach. It's only if the walls don't reach all the way up to the Schach that we assume that your eye won't catch it. The problem is, so Ner Chanukah, would you say it's more Shalta Be'ena than Schach that has the walls reach to it, or less Shalta Be'ena? Pashtus is, you would assume that it's Shalta Be'ena more. It's light emits darkness. It's candles in the night. So even if it's higher up, one would assume that it would be Shalta Be'ena, that at least it would be like Schach, where the Defanos are Magios L'Schach. But that also may depend on what you hold the Zman of Ner Chanukah is. Let's say you hold like the Shitas Hagra, that it's right at Shkia, so it's still pretty light outside. You don't necessarily notice light when it's so early. If you hold that it's at Tseis, or close to Tseis, or, depending on what you hold Tseis is, but if you hold that it's at Tseis, or close to Tseis, maybe it would be a little bit more of a Shalta Be'ena. Says the Gemara Vayter now, Va'amrav Kahana, Rav Kana taught us, Darsh Rav Nassim Bar Minyumi, Mishmeidu Rav Tanchum. Rav Nassim Bar Minyumi taught us in the name of Rav Tanchum, Maidich Siv V'habor Reik, Ein Bo Mayim. What does the pasuk mean when it says, the bor is empty, there is no water in there? Mimashma Shenemar V'habor Reik, Eini Yodea Shein Bo Mayim. From the fact that the Torah says V'habor Reik, that the bor is empty, do I not know that there's no water in it? Obviously, if it's empty, there's no water. Why does it say Ein Bo Mayim? Mayim Ein Bo, Avon L'chashma Akrabim Yeshbo. It's coming to teach me there was no water, but it doesn't mean it was completely empty. There were L'chashma Akrabim also, there were snakes and scorpions in there, but it wasn't completely empty. It was a very dangerous place to be. So the big question that the Achronim ask, and they're pretty much all Mechavein to the same idea, is what in the world is this doing over here? Why is this, what is this drasha have to do with anything? So a number of the Achronim are all mechaving to the same idea, but the Torah Tmima, I guess, says it best. The Torah Tmima writes in his commentary on Chumash on this drasha, that it relates to the previous drasha of Ner Chanukah. The Ner Chanukah l'malam echav ama is possible. Why is it possible? Because lo shalta be'ena. Because you won't see something that's above 20 amos. There is a Gemara that says that hashlacha, whenever you have a lashon of vayashlich, of being mashlich something, it always means 20 amos. That throwing something means at least 20 amos. So the brothers were mashlich Yosef into the bar. So maybe that means that if you put two and two together, that they threw him into a bar that was more than 20 amos deep. And there's a real kasha on the Yosef story. What were the brothers thinking? They were trying to save his life. If they were trying to save his life, why did they throw him into a bar that had nechashim akrabim? So Elamai must be that vayashlich, they threw him into a bar that was more than 20 amos deep. Lo shalta ba'ena, they didn't see that far beyond 20 amos, because it was 20 amos difference between their eye level and where it was, and that's why they didn't realize that they were nechashim akrabim. That's why they thought they were going to be saving his life. So that's the juxtaposition to the previous halacha. Now, in the back of the Gemara, the Mara Kohen has a slightly different presentation from a Zohar. There's a Zohar in Parshas Vayeshev that's an unbelievably challenging and contentious hashkafic point. The Zohar writes, Amar of Yitzchak, Hasam di inuchashim akrabin havubei amayksiv beruvein leman hitzilo somiyadam. He asked the kasha, if they were trying to save him, like it says, Reuven's intention was to save him, why did they throw him into a pit that was full of nuchashim akrabin? V'chilo chayish leruvein de nuchashim akrabin yinaskun lei. Did he not think that nuchashim akrabin could hurt him? Ella amar de tavle lemin pa legova de nuchashim akrabin di ihu tzadika. So what they decided to do was the following. They said, look, maybe we're wrong about him. Maybe he really is a tzaddik and we shouldn't kill him. But if he's a tzaddik, then Hashem will save him. We're going to leave it in our Kodesh Baruch Hu's hands. So instead of us killing him, we'll throw him into a bar of Nechashim HaKrab and let them decide. Let our Kodesh Baruch Hu decide whether these Nechashim HaKrab should hurt him. So why can't they just try to kill him and let our Kodesh Baruch Hu decide if they're going to be successful or not in killing him? Our Kodesh Baruch Hu is going to decide everything anyway. No? So says the Zohar, no. Aval biyada desanay deruusa delahon lekatalei lo yachol ihu liishtazav miyadayhu lefisha adam, and he puts in brackets, lefisha adam ubal bechira ve'ein ratzon levatel Hashem levatel es bechira sa adam bekolz man kanoda. Unbelievable, he says, if they wanted to kill him, even if HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't want him to be dead, part of bechira chafshus that a person has is that if a person chooses to kill another person, he has the ability to do so even against the ratzon Hashem. But nechashim akrabim are completely subject to the ratzon Hashem, so nechashim akrabim can only kill if HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to do it. So they figured, if we kill him, well, we could do that even if Hashem doesn't want him dead. But Nechash Makrab, we're only going to do it if Hashem wants it. V'lechein, kashal lefnei ha-makom, nasos neis l'tzadik, gamkein v'zeh. U'begin kach, amar l'man hitzil oso miyadam, miyadam dafka. Says the Zohar, that's why it says, l'man hitzil oso miyadam. To save him, not to save him, why not just l'man hitzil oso? Why miyadam? Because he didn't know that he was going to be saving him necessarily. Nechash Makrab might still kill him, but he's at least going to save him miyadam, from their hands, having a direct impact on what happens to Yosef. Now there are achronim that disagree with this point, with this possibility. What do you mean? HaKadosh Baruch Hu can't overpower what a human being wants in terms of who's going to die? I mean, a person's bal bechira, that's a din in his maisa, but in the success of his actions, he's also bal bechira. He gets to choose whether he's successful in what he does. So that zohar is a very, very controversial zohar. Very, very interesting point. So says the Gemara further now. Amar Rabba, Ner Chanukah, about 7 lines into the page, Ner Chanukah mitzvah la'anicha b'tefach ha'samach l'pesach. Ner Chanukah is supposed to be placed by the tefach that's closest to the doorway. Ve'heicha manachle, where do you put it? Rav Acha b'reid Rav Amar mi'yemin, on the right side of the doorway. Rav Shmuel mi'difti Amar mi'smol, on the left side of the doorway. Ve'hilchasa mi'smol, k'dei sh'tei Ner Chanukah mi'smol l'mezuzah mi'yemin. The halacha is that we put it on the left side of the doorway because we like to be surrounded by mitzvahs. We like to have Ner Chanukah on the left side and the mezuzah on the right side. And the Shiltos adds a third element to it, that you have Ner Chanukah on the left side, mezuzah on the right side, and Bal Habayis Mitzuyetzes Be'emtza, and the guy walking through the middle of the doorway with his tzitzis on. So that way he's surrounded by mitzvahs. You have tzitzis in the middle, Ner Chanukah on one side, and mezuzah on the other side. So the Netziv, in his commentary to the Shiltos, just points out, to make such a statement, that at the same time that the guy's going to be wearing tzitzis, there's going to be a mezuzah on one side, so mezuzah is always there. But Ner Chanukah on the other side, that implies that whatever the zman of Ner Chanukah is, it's also the zman of tzitzis. So the Shiltos is making a statement about one or the other. Either he's making a statement about how early you light Ner Chanukah, that you light it during the day, or how late you wear tzitzis, that maybe Laila's man tzitzis, the Shiltos holds that even during nighttime, it's still zman tzitzis, but he must be making a statement about one or the other, about the zman of one or the other, otherwise why is it both happening at the same time? Amar Avidam Ravasi, Asur lahartos mos kenegen Ner Chanukah. A person is not supposed to count money across from the Ner Chanukah. Counting money is a completely mundane activity. The Ritva has a discussion about doing a mitzvah. Using the Ner Chanukah for a mitzvah may be different. Ki amrisa kameh de Shmuel, when this was said in front of Shmuel, amr li v'chi ner kedusha yeshba. So Shmuel criticized this. He says, what do you mean? Why can't you count money across from Ner Chanukah? V'chi ner kedusha yeshba? Does the ner have any sense of kedusha? So it has been pointed out that, what do you mean? We say, haneros halalu kodesh heim. So how could the Gemara says, chiner kedusha, does the ner have any kedusha? We always say it as we say, haneros halalu kodesh heim, that the neros are in fact kodesh, and the makar of that is a mesechus sofrim. So it could be that tos mesechus psachim daf memam beis writes, and mesechus megillah daf lamara alfam beis, that there are a lot of things that we do based on mesechus sofrim neged shas. But more likely, the definition of the word, there are multiple definitions of the word kedusha, meaning what we're saying over here is that it's not hegdish, but it does have some level of kedusha in terms of being a mitzvah. So every mitzvah has some kedusha. Does a chefta shel mitzvah have a din of tashmishei kedusha that it needs to be nignaz? No, but it has some kedusha. Bizman mitzvah, there is some level of kedusha. It's just the word kedusha could mean multiple things. So anyway, so the Gemara says, what is it, hegdish, that you're not allowed to get any anah from it. So mask of Rav Yosef. So Rav Yosef asks, what v'chi dam kedusha yeshbo? After you shecht a chay or an oaf, does the blood have any kedusha? The Tanya, that we have a brisa that tells us what to do with the blood of a chay of a oaf, the shafach v'chisa, that after you shecht the animal, you have to do a mitzvah called kisoy adam, but mesha shafach yichase, that you have to cover the dam with the same thing, with that meaning with your hands, because you used your hands to shecht the animal, meaning shalei yichasenu beregel, shalei yomitzos pezuyos alav. Don't just kick dirt over the dam to cover the dam, because shalei yomitzos pezuyos alav. You don't want to show that you disrespect the mitzvos, and by just kicking some dirt over it, that would be disrespect to the mitzvos. So that's the reason. It's not because blood has kedusha, it's just that you have to show that mitzvos are meaningful to you, and you're not going to figuratively or literally step all over them. So hachanami shalei yomitzos pezuyos alav. The same thing with Ner Chanukah. It's not that the Ner is kedusha, it's just that treat it with a certain amount of respect, because it's a mitzvah. A mitzvah needs to be treated with respect. Once we're discussing treating things that are designated for a mitzvah with respect, what about using sukkah decorations the sukkah decorations used to be fruits. Now it's plastic fruits, but it used to be people who would use real fruits to hang in their sukkah. So what if you're hungry and there's a cluster of grapes hanging in your sukkah? Can you start munching on the cluster of grapes when it was used as a sukkah decoration? So can you be mistopic from the nice sukkah throughout the days of sukkah? Well, we know you're not allowed to count money using the light of the Ner Chanukah. Amar Rav Yosef. So Rav Yosef says, so what? How do you learn anything from there? Mari Davram. Tali Tanya B'dolot Tanya. You're learning from something that is never said explicitly by Tanaim, from something that is said explicitly. You're learning something that is said explicitly by Tanaim from something that's not said explicitly by Tanaim. Sukkah Tanya, Chanukah Lo Tanya. Where do we know that you're not allowed to count money connected to Chanukah? It's a statement of Amoraim, Amar Rav Yudah Amar Rav Asi, that said that. But by Sukkah, it's a beferish statement of Tanaim, it's a brisa that you're not allowed to be mistopic from the Sukkah. So how could you learn the din of Sukkah from the din of Ner Chanukah? It's backwards. D'tanya, Sikha Kilchasa, if you have a Sukkah that's put up properly, V'itra v'krom v'sadin l'mitzuyarin, and then you decorate it with all sorts of different cloths, v'talaba egozim aparsik and shkedim v'rimonim parchili anavim v'atar shalshibanim yeno shmanim uslasos, and all different types of foods and oils and flowers and different types of foods. You're not allowed to use the sukkah decorations until the Motsoi Yom Tov Ha'achron Shel Chag, till Motsoi Shmini Atzeres. But if you put it up al Tanai that you should be allowed to use them, so you dafka did not designate them to always be tafel to the sukkah for the entire yantif, so then you could follow whatever Tanai you made. But if you just put it up stam, so it has a certain level of kedusha that you're not allowed to use it. You're not allowed to be mistapik. Why does it have to say sukkah kilchasa, that the schach is done right? Who cares whether the schach is done right? The nice sukkah should be asur because they're nice sukkahs. Nothing to do with the schach. So probably the reason it says the schach is done right is because if the schach was not kahalacha, then it wouldn't have kedusha sukkah, and mela the noy wouldn't have a din of noy sukkah. Because it's not only totally in your intention, apparently, this is how the Ran writes in Daf Mem Hayam and Aleph, the Chidush HaRan, it's not only totally in your intention to make it noy sukkah, it has to actually be noy sukkah, and it's not really noy sukkah unless there's a sukkah that it's noy for. So maybe that's the lashon sukkah kilchasa. So says Mar Alam Rav Yosef Avun de Kulu Dam. Rav Yosef says Dam is the father of all of them. That you see that this is a din and that mitzvah shnapi bezios alav, and Dam is where really all stems from, the keys of the mitzvah of kisei adam. They not allowed to be mechase beregel. Itmar Rav Amarin Madik Miner Liner. Rav says you're not allowed to light from one candle to another candle of Ner Chanukah. Shmuel Amar Madlikin, and Shmuel says you are allowed to light from one Chanukah candle to another. Rav Amar, a second machlokas between Rav and Shmuel, similar. Ein matir and tzitzis mi beged the beged, that you can't move tzitzis from one beged to another beged. Shmuel Amar matir mi beged the beged, and Shmuel says that you are allowed to be matir tzitzis. You are allowed to move tzitzis from one beged to another beged. Tosos points out, Rav Amar ein matir mi beged the beged, lo mi bayu chovas talus hu da aser. Obviously, if the chiv of tzitzis were a chiv in the beged, that whenever you have a beged of dalet kanfos, the beged needs dalet kanfos, then obviously it's also to take tzitzis off of one beged to move it to the other, because you can't take tzitzis off of the beged. The beged needs tzitzis, whether you're wearing it or not, if you hold chavas talis. But what we're saying is, ala filu chavas gavruhu, that even if it's only a chiv when you're wearing a beged of dalet kanfos to have tzitzis on it, it's not a din in the beged, it's a din in the person, nami aser. Even that Rav is saying you're not allowed to move tzitzis from one beggar to another, kida ashkan b'mezuzah, because we find this by mezuzah as well, where mezuzah clearly it's only a chavas hadar. There's only a chiv in a house having a mezuzah if someone's going to be living there, and yet we find that if you remove a mezuzah from a house, you get punished. Afal gav to chavas hadarhi, even though mezuzah is chavas hadar. That's shitas Rav. That's why the halacha is when a person moves out of a house, if you sell your house and you leave the house and you sold it to another Jewish family, where they may want your mezuzahs, so you have to leave the mezuzahs. The only way you're allowed to take the mezuzah is if they're going to be destroyed. If you sell it to a non-Jewish family, who is likely going to just take them off the wall and throw them out in the garbage, so then you're allowed to remove your mezuzahs. But if the mezuzahs are going to be left there, so you have to leave them there. You're not allowed to take the mezuzah off of the house. Aye, so then why does Shmuel hold you allowed? So the same thing Rav is suggesting by tzitzis. They have to leave it there. You can't remove the mitzvah from something. So Shmuel Amar Matirin. What's Shmuel Svara? Avagav the Shmuel Gufesvir, the Chavas Talas he. Afiluachi Matirin. Shmuel holds that you are allowed to remove the tzitzis, even though Shmuel holds that it's Chavas Beged, that it's a chiv on the Beged to have tzitzis. Kivan shall say l'tzorach beged acher, because Shmuel holds you're not stam removing it, you're putting it on another beged. So once you're putting it on another beged, that warrants removing it from the first beged. Because why should we assume the beged that it's on has a greater chiv than the beged that you're moving it to? V'gabi mezuzah shenenash. Aye, what about mezuzah? Shmuel going to deal with the fact that you're not allowed to remove a mezuzah from a house. Shem elohayu bedaita laniach bebayis acher. Maybe by the mezuzah case, you're only nenash if you don't plan on putting it on another house. That would be a gaval de kakula if we held that way, that if you do plan on moving it to another house, then it would be okay. Inami, or maybe this more likely, mezuzah shiny sha'asuya lahatzil min amazikin. The din of not removing a mezuzah is a special din in mezuzah. In mezuzah, we find the concept of being matzil min amazikin, that the mezuzah has protective powers to it. So when you remove a mezuzah, you're leaving a house vulnerable. Removing tzitzis from beged doesn't leave a beged vulnerable. So therefore, v'alvgav del kuli alma ematirin shlo laniach bebeged acher, ein kasha mashnogel hatir tzitzis mitalis shal mesim, dedavka betal. Then Tosa ends up with a side point, even though everyone agrees that if you're not going to move the tzitzis to another beged, you certainly can't remove it from one beged. We're still allowed to remove tzitzis from beged shel mesim, because this is only about live people, that you're not allowed to remove the tzitzis from one beged. Okay, so that was the second machlokas, Rav and Shmuel. Third machlokas, Rav Amar, in the first wide line, Rav Amar ein halach Rabbi Shimon begreira, Shmuel Amar halach Rabbi Shimon begreira. Rav says we don't follow the sheet of Rabbi Shimon by Davar Shein Miskavein, that when you're dragging a bench, if it happens to make a hole in the ground, so Rabbi Shimon says that it's mutter, and the Chacham say that it's aser, Davar Shein Miskavein. So Rav says that we don't follow Rabbi Shimon, and Shmuel says we do follow Rabbi Shimon. Amar Abaye, kol mili demar avid karav, lebar mehani tlas David kishmuel. Abaye says, generally speaking, everything that Rav Bar Nachmeni taught me, I always follow Rav's shita. Everything he taught me about machlokes between Rav and Shmuel, I always follow Rav's shita, except for these three where I follow Shmuel. Madlik mi ner liner, I hold you can be madlik from one ner chanukah to another. Umatir mi beged lebeged, I hold you can move tzitzis from one beged to another. V'alach Rabbi Shimon begreira, and I hold alach is like Rabbi Shimon begreira. Detanya, what's this greira? Rabbi Shimon Omer, gor radamita kisev safsel, b'vachal yiskavin lasas charetz. You're allowed to drag a bed, a chair, a bench, as long as you don't have kavana to make a furrow in the ground. Yosef who made rabban kamei the rav adibar avo, v'yosef v'kamar time the rav mishum bizui mitzvah. So one of the rabban was explaining that the reason Rav holds you're not allowed to light miner liner, going back to our Chanukah discussion, the reason Rav holds you're not allowed to light from one ner Chanukah to another is because it's a bizui mitzvah. How do you light from one ner Chanukah to another? You take a match or a splinter or a wick or something, you put it into one of the neros Chanukah, and then you transfer it into the other ner Chanukah. That's a bizui mitzvah. Amr luhu lo tzatzi Yisule. He said, no, don't listen to that. Taimi de Rav Mishum de Kamachish Mitzvah. The reason of Rav is that you're weakening the mitzvah. It's not that you are being mevaza the mitzvah. My benayhu, what's the nafkamina between the two deos? Ika benayhu de Kamadlik Misharga Lasharga. Let's say you light directly from one candle to the other candle without using a match to transfer the fire. So mandiyam rishum bizui mitzvah mishagel shagel madlik. If you hold that, it's an issue of bizui mitzvah. So it's not a bizui mitzvah if the only thing you're lighting from the first candle is another mitzvah, is another candle shel mitzvah, another ner shel mitzvah. So that's not a bizui mitzvah. You're just continuing the mitzvah into another chavta shel mitzvah. It's only bizui mitzvah when you light a match that has no meaning whatsoever. To light a match would be a bizui mitzvah. But mandiyam rishum achushe mitzvah, the one that says that it's the weakening of a mitzvah, mishagel shaganar miyasur, then even to light from one candle to the other would be asur. How's it a weakening of the mitzvah when you light a fire from one candle to another? It doesn't weaken the first fire. The first fire stays, will stay lit just as long, will be, but it looks like a weakening of the mitzvah. It gives the impression that you're taking something away from the first fire. So that we don't want to do. We don't want to even give the impression that you're taking away from the first fire. Masav Rav Avya, selah shel meiser sheni. If you have a sela, or some they take out sela shell, I think the Gram maybe takes it out, but whatever it is, you have meiser sheni. You have meiser sheni money, whether it's a sela or otherwise. Meiser sheni money ain't shulkin kenegdo dinari zahav. You can't weigh on a scale kenegdo the meiser sheni money other dinari zahav to see how much the dinarim are worth. Rashi points out meiser sheni dinarin shechila lalei meiser sheni. How does money become meiser sheni? Typically speaking, meiser sheni is always produce. But the point is that if you can't bring all of your produce to your shleim, so the Mishnayos give you the right, the Torah gives you the right to be poded on money, to exchange the Kedushas Meiser Sheni onto money, because Meiser Sheni has to be eaten all in Yerushalayim unless you exchange it for money. So you add 25% to the amount and you take that money to Yerushalayim and you spend the money there. So if you have this Meiser Sheni money, in Shulkin Kenegdan Dinarin Shel Chulin Lirosh Yerushalayim, to make sure that your Chulin money is Shalayim and weighs the proper amount, you shouldn't weigh it against Meiser Sheni money. Vafil L'Chalal of Meiser Sheni Acher. And even if you're trying to be Mechalal other Meiser Sheni on these Dinarin, and that's your intention in weighing it against the original Meiser Sheni money, so you're doing it, the opinion of Meiser Sheni, still don't do it. So, Iyam, Pishlam, Ki, Pligi, Rav, Shmuel, Miner, Liner, if Aval, Bikinsa, Asar, Shmuel, I understand very well, if the machlokas between Rav and Shmuel is about being makhish the mitzvah, it's about taking directly from one candle to the other candle, but if you were to use match in between to transfer, everyone would hold its aser, so then halotavi tiyufta, then that's not going to be a tiyufta from the case of Meiser Sheni. Why not? Rashi points out, iyam Rabbi Shlomo ki pligi Rav Shmuel miner liner mamish v'lo bikisem ubahahu deshari Shmuel. When is Shmuel matir? Only when you do it directly. D'lo chayish lachushay aval bekinsa debizoy hu modeh. But if you're using a match, even Shmuel will say it's a problem. Halav havi tiyufta danach dinarim dechulin lo gufayu mitzvah. So then that fits very nicely with the Meiser Sheni story, because you're using money that's mamish chulin in the process. That has nothing to do with the mitzvah. That's the equivalent of using a match. And by using a match, Rav and Shmuel were now saying, would both agree that it's usher to transfer the candle using a match. So if you say that's in fact what they hold up, both of them would hold that it's usher to use a match, so then the case of the Meiser Sheni is not going to be a kasha on anybody. But if you hold that Shmuel is matir, transferring the flame, even using a match, Hatavi Tiyufta. So why isn't the Meiser Sheni Mishnah Tiyufta on Shmuel? Because you see, you're allowed to bring Chulin into the picture to aid in transferring a mitzvah from one thing to another. So if you're allowed to use a match of Chulin to transfer a flame from one candle to another, you should be allowed to use Chulin money to weigh against the Meiser Sheni money. So Amarav Gzeira Shemali Yichavin Mishkalosav Kamapik Lul Chulin. Now the point is, by the weighing, it's a different concern. We're afraid you're going to find the money to be chaser, and you're going to have rachmanas, and you're not going to be mechal meiser on it, because you're going to find the money to not be exactly the way you wanted the money to be for the pidyon of other meiser sheni, and then it will be pure chulin. It's not just transferring onto another mitzvah; it will be mamish chulin. And to just deal with chulin completely to use a mitzvah to help you to deal with chulin is completely not permissible. Mas Rav Sheshes michutz la parochas ha'edus yaroch. v'chila oruhu tzarech. Why do we set up the ner, the menorah, michutz l'brachas? Does HaKadosh Baruch Hu need the light? V'lo kol arba'im shana shalchu b'nei Yisrael b'midbar, lo halchu elu la'oro. For 40 years in the midbar, we had HaKadosh Baruch Hu's light leading us. Why do we need to set up a light for HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the Beis HaMikdash? Very strange question. Mehichitesi that we even have a havamina, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu needs the light. So Tosfos points out, it's an even stranger question. Well, the way we formulate it is, God needs our light. He gave us light for 40 years. 40 years he gave us light for? He gives us the sun every single day. He's given us light for all of it for forever. Since the Bria Solam, he's given us light. Tema, Maynokan Mem Shana, Liolam Kololam Kula Liorushal Makom Olchin. The whole world is always with the Orushal Makom. V'yesh mafarshim v'chi aron k'shayin nichnas lofnim la'orah yitzarech v'lo mem shana yemeir lehem amud anon b'chol ha'makomos k'na mirin b'brais ad v'lach samishkan ha'miskabel b'tapiach v'yodeh ma b'tocha b'chavis v'yodeh ma b'tocha. That the kash is not, does a Kodesh Baruch Hu need a light? The kash is, does the Kohen need the light? That after all, the Kohen had light in the Mishkan when he needed it, so that's the v'chi tzrichim l'ner v'lo kolos mem shana lahutzruchu l'ner. They didn't need a ner in the Mishkan for all that time, so why does a Kodesh Baruch Hu have to set it up where in the Beis HaMikdash we need Neros? Ella Eidos Hilabayolam. Rather, the Gemara says it's an Eidos for people. Shashchina Shara B'Yisrael, that the Shechina is always here. My Eidos, what's the Eidos? Amarav Zu Ner Maravi Shenosin Bashem and Kamidas Chavroseha. The Eidos is the miracle of the Western candle, that the Ner Maravi had the same amount of oil as all of the other candles. Umi Menahayim Madlik Ubahayim Mesayim, and yet they would light from it, and they would finish with it, the cleaning of the Neros with it, meaning it was lit first, and it stayed lit the longest, even though it had the same amount of oil as all of the other Neros. So it was like a daily miracle. It's one of the kashas in the Ner Chanukah. What's the big deal that oil lasted longer than it was supposed to? Every single day the Ner Maravi lasted longer than it was supposed to. It was a daily miracle in the Beis HaMikdash. V'ahacha kivin dekvi Neros lo sagid lo mishkel v'adlukei. But wait a second, how did we describe that? What was so special about the Ner Maravi? Mimena hayamadlik, they would light from it. So isn't this a raya that you're allowed to light from one candle shal mitzvah to another candle shal mitzvah? Since it's kavur neros lo sagid lo mishkel v'adlukei, and the point is you couldn't even lift up, these neros are kavur, you couldn't lift up the ner maravi and use it to light one of the others. You had to use a match to help transfer the flame. So don't you see you're allowed to use a match to transfer the flame? So kasha bein l'manyam mishum bizu mitzvah bein l'manyam mishum achlusha mitzvah. So that's a kasha on everybody. So tirgum rapapa v'psilos aruchos. Now maybe you didn't have to use a match to transfer the flame. Maybe you had an extraordinarily long wick and the wick was able to reach over to the other flames. So sof l'manyam mishum achlusha mitzvah kasha. But still that's going to be a kasha on Shmuel according to the manyam rav achlusha mitzvah. That Shmuel says you're not allowed to transfer the flame even if you're doing it directly. So kasha, that's a difficulty on Shmuel according to that shita of a chushe mitzvah. So my havela, what do we say at the end of the day? Amar funa b'reid of Yeshua chazina iadlaka osa mitzvah madlikin miner l'ner v'yanacha osa mitzvah e madlikin miner l'ner. Whether you let a light from one candle to another depends on whether you hold hadlaka osa mitzvah or hanacha osa mitzvah. Is the mitzvah of ner chanukah of ner or the ner in the ner chanukah to light the ner, or is the mitzvah to have the ner? And even if I lit it somewhere else, I lit it somewhere that's not kosher, and I bring it to the right place, maybe that would be kosher. Do you need a maisa hadlaka, or you just need a ner? Do you buy elahu hadlaka osa mitzvah or hanacha osa mitzvah? The shaila was raised. Do we hold hadlaka osa mitzvah, or do we hold hanacha osa mitzvah? So Tashma, the Gemara is going to bring several rayos. We'll just get through the first one or two today. Tashma. If a person is holding an erchanika, standing there, loss of a lo klum, he didn't do anything. So we see that the anacha osa mitzvah, because the point is, if you're holding it standing there, you didn't do anything, but once you place it down, then you did do something. Says no. Over there, the issue is that a person, if someone sees you standing there holding it, they're going to think that you're using it for your own benefit. That's why it's lo asa v'lo klum. Someone just, Rabbi Yechiel Weberman, called me last night and told me that he heard from Rabbi Naftali Yeager Shlita once that the Sfasemis is bothered by the Lashon Va'omed. It's almost like Ner Chanukah, he's holding Ner Chanukah Va'omed. What do you mean Va'omed? So he says, al derech drush, that Va'omed If a person goes through a Chanukah, goes through a miracle, sees the Nisim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, va'omed, and he's standing in the same place he was before, he didn't grow from it, he didn't change from it, nothing happened as a result of it, so then lo asa v'lo klum. Then this whole point of the Nes was lost on him. The whole miracle was for naught, because the whole point of any Nisim that a person experiences is that it's supposed to have an impact on us, it's supposed to change the way that we live, it's supposed to change something inside of us. So that's the Lashon of va'omed, al derek trush. Tashma. Second raya, if you light the Ner Chanukah inside and then you bring it outside, you didn't accomplish the mitzvah. So yeah, pishlama hadlaka osa mitzvah hadlaka b'makomo b'inan mishum hachi lo asa klum. If you say hadlaka osa mitzvah, makes a lot of sense. I lit it inside. You're supposed to light the Ner Chanukah in the proper makom. So putting it down in the proper makom doesn't do anything because the hadlaka is the mitzvah. Eliyamet hanacha osa mitzvah. But if you hold that the hanacha osa mitzvah, amai lo asa v'lo klum. Why is it considered that you are lo asa v'lo klum? So after all, you placed it down in the proper place. Says Gemara, no hasanami harohu amal tzarchohu da'adlaka. If a person sees you placing it down, a person is going to think you lit it for your own benefit. Tosfos just points out the whole nafkamina, the biggest nafkamina in hadlaka osa mitzvah, we're going to get to it tomorrow. The Baran Tosfos points out the biggest nafkamina between hadlaka and hanacha is if one of a chayr shot of a katan lit it. If a chayr shot of a katan lit it, is that good enough? Because there's no maisa hadlaka by a chayr shot of a katan, but there is a candle there at the end of the day. So is it a din in the totsah, in the result of having a candle there, or a din in a maisa hadlaka? So Mr. Shem will continue to bring rayas in that sugya tomorrow. Oh, yeah.